Okay, well, it's five after, and I think we've given the stragglers enough time to jump on. My name is Logan Spence. I'm campaign manager, and I appreciate y'all calling in to join us to discuss what happened Tuesday night when Dan surprised a lot of people and got about, 41.4% of the votes that night. So we've got a few bullet points we'd like to go over with you, and I'd like to hand it over to Alan Blakemore to go over those with us.
This is Alan Blakemore. Thank you all for joining us today. A word of thanks to anybody from the Houston Chronicle who happens to be with us today for the best Wednesday morning headline with the walloping.
Brian Poppy, Texas Public Radio.
Thing you the headline in quite a while. At any rate, Dan Patrick need a 12-year incumbent in a very interesting way, I think. We've got the regional breakdowns are, I think, the thing that tells us the best story about our success and about our potential success in the runoff. The counties that have the counties where the people are is where we did the best. The counties that represent turnout of about 75% of the one.
Excuse me, we have a little interference. Could you repeat that, please?
Well, we'll try to. We'll ask people.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of interference.
Yeah,
hard to hear.
Logan, you probably need to mute. You probably need to mute everyone, Logan.
Let's try to just have everybody mute their lines themselves.
Logan, why don't you go ahead and hit mute, and then we'll open it back up in a minute.
Okay, one second here.
Logan.
Yes.
I think you may have muted me.
No, he didn't, Alan. Trust me.
Okay. Can anybody hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going. The point that I'm trying to make here is that the counties, the most populous counties in the state, were the counties where Dan did the best. Dan won 9 of the top 10 Republican counties. Dan won 18 of the top 20. 25 of the top 30, 31 of the top 40, 36 of the top 50. Where the voters are is where Dan did the best. Yes, you can also look at that and say that Dan did not do particularly well in the rural, more sparsely populated areas of the state. David Dewhurst is clearly better liked by the cattle and farm animals of this state. We're better liked by the people. We've got a good, strong electoral base. Harris County, Dan won the home county of both of the two candidates by almost 58%. We won Montgomery County by almost 61%. Fort Bend by 52. Brazoria, 50. Galveston, 42. So He is doing well there in this Houston media market, in the DFW media market, the largest media market in the state. We have also similar results, Dallas 45, Tarrant 50, Collin 54, Denton 54. Number 3 media market in the state, Bexar County, we won 47%. To 32%, a 15% margin. What we've got is we are, I think, well poised to win this runoff. I know that a lot of the public polls that were released prior to the election had us in second place, and I think many applying conventional wisdom thought that was going to happen. But with a nearly 14-point lead going into the runoff, I think the position for Mr. Dewhurst is rather hopeless. With that, we'll open it up to some questions and comments and have a little discussion.
Alan, this is Bob Price with Breitbart, Texas.
Hmm?
Can you speak to how the senator performed in the Valley portion of the state?
Well, there's just not a lot of votes down there. If you look at the map of where we've got a map here somewhere, and let's see. You've got Dewhurst. You've got Patrick Wins in Kinney County, Maverick County, Demet LaSalle, Patrick Wynn in El Paso, Culberson, Jeff Davis. We won the El Paso media market, so certainly we won the overwhelmingly won the Bear County media the Bear DMA. I think that our results for the Valley are good, and portend great strength for runoff.
Are you, this is Morgan Smith of the Texas Tribune. Are you concerned about the your ability to compete financially with Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst in the runoff?
Well, obviously, anytime you run against David Dewhurst, you are at risk for him opening up his checkbook. His checkbook is certainly larger than most. What he hasn't demonstrated so far in this election is the willingness that he has shown in past campaigns to part with his own money. He put about $2 million in, and didn't actually for the first time didn't put it in as a contribution. He put it in as a loan. Actually, he borrowed the money. Mm-hmm. So that is different from his past behavior. Will he feel threatened? He certainly should. But will that make him open up his checkbook? I can't. You'll have to ask him that question.
We will. Hey, Alan Scott Baddock, you mentioned that it shocked a lot of people, or surprised a lot of people Tuesday night, just how well Dan did. But and I have no doubt that you were confident for sure. But what surprised you about the results? Were you surprised at how high Dan came in?
Well, our tracking had indicated over the last 10 days that we had passed David and were in first place. We felt very good about that. Our pollsters were spot on. I got to tell you though, even my pollsters didn't tell me that we were going to win by almost 14 points. So yes, even we were surprised at the margin, not mm-hmm. not where we finished.
Right.
Well, Julie Fine, DFW. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Julie.
Did someone else go? Sure. I don't want to interrupt anybody. What should we expect going forward in the campaign? Will you focus a little bit more in the Valley? Should we expect to see you in the areas where you did well? Like, what's next for y'all?
Well, I mean, campaigning in a Republican primary statewide in Texas is a daunting task to cover the state, but we do know where the votes are. You've got the majority of the votes sitting in the Dallas, Houston, and Bear markets, Austin market following closely behind that. Dan has run a very aggressive campaign so far, and will continue to spend a lot of time in West Texas and East Texas as well. But you got to go where the voters are, and what was it John Dillinger said about robbing banks? You rob banks because that's where the money is. So we will continue to be where the voters are. Dan will keep a very aggressive travel schedule. We got a great grassroots team, and we'll work that hard.
Hey, Alan. David Jennings here. First, congratulations. Second, a lot has been made in the media that you simply followed the Ted Cruz formula, and I think it's quite a bit more nuanced than that. Can you tell us exactly how it differs from that formula? Because, you know, you really didn't go after the Republican women like he did, and you stuck mostly to the grassroots. And how did that transition into such an overwhelming victory?
Well, let me say this first of all about Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz did put a lot of these things in motion all across the state, and definitely paved the way for a lot of the things that we did. Every campaign is a little different. Every candidate is a little different. So we took the strengths that Dan had with the Tea Party, with the grassroots, and just went out and built on that. Dan did not enjoy, good name ID to start this race. We had to go out and build that and buy that. And the race is a little different. Certainly the overall spending in this race is considerably less than what you saw in the U.S. Senate race. We didn't have the extra help and support from the outside groups that Ted had when he ran, and therefore had to rely much more on a grassroots game.
Alan, this is Shelley Koffler with KERA in Dallas.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to ask. Todd Staples has said that he won't endorse anyone in the runoff. Jerry Patterson, if I understood this correctly, has said that he's considering endorsing Dewhurst, but that he wouldn't endorse Dan Patrick, and I think he called him a liar. And so those two candidates in the primary represented nearly 30% of the vote. How will you attract them, and does it matter if the people they supported the last time aren't supporting you in the runoff?
Well, I think good question. I think what you deal with in runoffs, particularly runoffs against extremely well-known incumbents like David Dewhurst. David Dewhurst enjoys virtual 100% name ID. Everybody in the state knows who David is. The nice thing for us is that 72% of them have decided that they want somebody else. It puts us in a position where what we have to do is go out and provide them, communicate a message and make sure that we are that alternative. We certainly were the dominant alternative running against him. The Staples and Patterson voters made a decision that they wanted somebody other than David Dewhurst. They chose a particular candidate. Their candidate didn't advance to the runoff, and they're not left with many other options. They're only left with really one, unless they want Dewhurst, which, again, they'd already decided they didn't want to do. So it's not something that we're particularly worried about. That Mr. Patterson calling us a liar is probably the nicest thing he said about us in several months. Mr. Staples, I think is, ran a very tough campaign, but has decided that he's going to sit on the sidelines, and that's certainly his prerogative. Their voters, I think we will be able to demonstrate that their voters certainly will choose us.
Have you spoken to either of those campaigns and tried to facilitate a conversation to ask for the candidate's support?
Dan has not spoken with Mr. Patterson. He did have a very pleasant conversation with Mr. Staples. Mr. Staples called to congratulate him on his campaign, and they've had very, very cordial conversation since the election.
Alan, Bob Price.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Bob, did we lose you?
Bob.
Next question.
Bob is gone. Hey,
this is Morgan Smith with the Texas Tribune again. What is your response to when the analogy to the U.S. Senate race runoff is made? Well, Dan Patrick is no Ted Cruz. He lacks some of the charisma. He has more of difficulties in his background that opposition researchers can exploit for attack ads. What's kind of the response to that from the Dan Patrick campaign?
Well, they are very different candidates. They have very different backgrounds and different set of credentials entirely. Dan has a record in the Texas Senate as being a bold leader who has offered ideas and strong public policy stands that have separated him from the rest of the herd. Every time you take a strong stand, you're going to offend somebody. But the positions that he has taken and the beliefs that he has are in fact in line with the majority of Texans, and that was made clear in the results this Tuesday.
This is Aaron from Bob Price tonight.
We'll try you again, Bob. Okay.
Okay, I have a question. Typically, in the runoffs, the turnout is extremely low in comparison with the general election. With the size of this ballot, in terms of the number of candidates and offices in the runoff, what do you anticipate the voter turnout will be?
Probably, I think our guess right now would probably be something in the 850 to 900,000 range. We do have an attractive ballot. We've got a couple of good statewide runoffs, and regardless of what happens in the comptroller's race, you've got an exciting attorney general runoff. Not too many people get excited about a railroad commission, but you've got that one as well. And so I think you've got enough to make voters come back out. We had the 2012 election. We still had good turnout, even though it was in the middle of summer. This one is the Tuesday after Memorial Day, but the kids will still be in school, and I don't think anybody will have fled the jurisdiction.
Hey, Alan, David Jennings again. You just released, or Dr. Hosey just released the results of a poll, and it looks like Dan is very well positioned. Do you think that David is going to at some point understand where he is in this race and bow out?
I would have to believe that those conversations are being held in his camp, but again, I think you're going to have to direct those questions to them. It is something. David's had a long career and been a great service to the state. It's sort of a shame to see him go out on such a sour note. David's a fighter, and certainly during the closing weeks of the campaign, clearly his campaign saw what the polling numbers were looking like, the same thing that we saw. And he decided to close the campaign on a very negative note and with some pretty vicious attack ads. So,
Alan, is it
he may well want to continue that course and go on a Sherman's march to the sea and burn all the crops. I don't know.
Hi, this is Ron Poppy with Tech Public Radio. I was down here in San Antonio wondering, have you guys given any thought to some of the dates that Mayor Julian Castro has given your campaign regarding that debate? Will that be happening anytime soon?
I believe the Twitter traffic will indicate that we have settled on an April the 15th date. The folks in the Texas Tribune and I believe Univision are going to be the primary sponsors of that program. And, we accepted Mayor Castro's challenge and offer to debate in San Antonio, and we're looking forward to it.
When did you decide that? Was that just this week or...?
I think the conversation opened up again. I believe Mayor Castro tweeted at us on election night and said, here are a couple of dates. And I know those conversations were going on Wednesday and yesterday. So,
thank you.
Will you be making
hey,
any...
Alan.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's a nice young lady's voice who didn't identify herself.
Morgan Smith with the Texas Tribune. Will y'all be making any endorsements in the down ballot runoff races?
I do not foresee doing that at this time.
Yeah,
hey,
this is
Alan.
Aaron from Capital Tonight. I just had a quick question. The UT Texas Tribune poll showed you guys with the smallest lead over a potential matchup with Letitia Vandeput. I believe it was a 9-point lead. Is that something you guys are looking ahead to?
Well, I think we'll let the rest of the accuracy of the results from the Texas Tribune UT poll speak for themselves. They haven't been right on anything else, so I think I'll just pass on that particular question.
Well, what about a general election, especially in light of the criticism over his language on Latino voters? Is that something y'all are planning to tone down or change in any way?
I don't think you'll see Dan Patrick change his positions on any issues heading into the general election. It is, I believe he's articulating a position that is in line with the majority of Texans, and he will continue to.
But does he plan to keep using the term invasion? Illegal invasion.
Wait for the next TV spot and see if it's got something colorful in it that you like. Our media team has produced some great ads for us, and I'm sure they'll continue to.
Alan, Scott Braddock again. We're talking about ads there, and you mentioned that David dropped some negative TV right in the home stretch there. But, you know, without using the term negative ad, I guess you could say a contrast ad. Y'all have been doing ads that were very aggressive against all three other candidates for months, right? Do you anticipate the tone of things to be that much uglier going forward if Dewhurst does open up his wallet and actually does start spending some serious money on what people would call negative advertising, and how will y'all respond to that?
Well, Dewhurst spending, he spent about 40% of all of his media dollars in the last week with some very negative advertising. He stepped up his buys. He increased the number of dollars he had on the air on a weekly basis and put up his ads. Obviously, negative is always in the eyes of the beholder. Happy to have that conversation, you know. But in David's case, he was making, attacks on Dan about items that have been, you know, disproved. The ads that Dan had up was talking about the voting records of his opponents. So if you say Mr. Staples voted this way, Mr. Patterson voted this way, it's a vote. It's a record vote. It's got a footnote on it. If you say Dan Patrick hired illegal aliens, well, we know from the fine reporting done by Ted Oberg and his team here, they had Mr. Andretti on the air, and he said Dan Patrick didn't hire me, a manager did. So, you know, one of them is trying to say that Dan did something that even the man who accused him of it agreed he didn't, and the other is talking about a voting record. So, you know, is one a personal attack and one a contrast on records? You know, we'll let the voters decide, and I think they've made that decision once. I think they'll come to the right one again.
Alan, it's Bob Garrett with the Dallas Morning News.
Yes, sir.
Two things. One is any idea whether you'll have a debate with Dewhurst, not Julian Castro, or not just Julian Castro? And secondly, is Dan going to do more than just dismiss Dewhurst? What's your strategy? Are you going to work hard here in 12 weeks or just coast?
Well, there is, trust me, there is no coasting going on at this campaign headquarters. None at all. I think Logan will attest to that. In terms of debates, we've had a Central Texas debate offer that I know the folks who put on a televised debate before, and that was, I guess, out of Waco. That one is being put together. We look forward to all the folks on the call and their various media outlets looking at putting those together. We are not shying away from debates. Happy to do that. Dan is a great debater and a great communicator, and we love opportunities for him to appear on stage with Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst.
Capital Tonight would be happy to host that debate.
Well, please put one together and look at some dates. Get your requests in early because everybody's calendar fills up. But love to do it.
We'll be sending that email.
Alan, it's Ryan Poppy again with Texas Public Radio. I'd like to ask you, do you guys have a location that you're looking at, and is it going to be in San Antonio? Is that right?
I'm gonna be a little bit hazy on these details because I haven't personally been involved. I believe you will hear something shortly from Evan Smith, the Texas Tribune, that will be in San Antonio on the 15th. And as I say, I believe Univision is their one of their partners in that program. The one stipulation that we had was that we wanted to make sure that it was not an exclusive event, that all the working press would be able to attend and cover that.
Hey, Alan, David Jennings again. You mentioned earlier about the difference between the contrast ads, one personal, one more sticking to issues. Can you give us a sense of what happened in polling wise when Patterson and the ABC 13 and Dallas Morning News came out with the story on Andretti, and did voters buy into that or did they dismiss that?
Well, I don't think it was really the news coverage that turned the voters. I think it was the way the campaigns tried to use that news coverage. And it clearly, did not work as well as they had hoped, because it was when those negative attacks started coming, that was actually when the numbers turned in terms of our tracking, in terms of Dan's numbers going up and their numbers going down. Any other questions, comments?
I have a real quick question because I was looking back at some of the PolitiFact work that had been done.
Yes.
And, excuse me, there was a claim that Dan made earlier when there were four candidates that the only candidate for lieutenant governor to oppose in-state tuition for illegal immigrants was Patrick. Does mm-hmm. he still believe that Dewhurst did not and does not oppose in-state tuition?
Our position has been our position has been and continues to be that David had an opportunity to do something about that and chose not to.
You mean when Patrick was had a bill that was filed to repeal?
Yes, ma'am. Other questions, comments, or is everybody ready to go enjoy some nice weather this weekend?
It works for me, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Logan, do you have any parting comments?
He's gone.
He's already left on spring break. There is no spring break for the Dan Patrick campaign. Well, thank you all very much. Y'all have a great weekend, and if we can provide any other information, please feel free to give us a call. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.